Here we are. It's the news according to me. So the question is, how long am I going to let the music play before I start talking this evening? About that long. Now you figured it out. I think we'll play for, I think it's like 50 seconds before it finally quits. I just have to shut it off. Because I know that you're all wanting to know my opinion and what it is I'm drinking out of this cup. This evening I'm drinking Pacific Island chai. It's a creamy chai. Nice blend with a little bit of cinnamon spice. Creamer in it. Yummy stuff. Kind of a late night for chai, I guess it is. But late at night for chai. It's 9:30 right now? 9:23 on May 5th, 2021. And I've been exploring this new thing here, some of the stuff that's out here. Right now I've been listening to, there's this thing called Lindell TV. And I've just been kind of listening to it this evening a little bit. also kind of looked a little bit into the, I tried to anyway, the Trump website thing. And it's a little bit vague on here on what, about how to actually, this new platform that's available. Not exactly sure. I still have yet to find it. I'm not exactly sure what I'm looking for. Airplane crashed down in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, I guess it is. Small plane crash. 4 people died. That was earlier today. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know if the plane, people on the ground are the ones that died, or if it, I'm not exactly sure. Woman, toddler among 4 killed when a plane crashed into a Mississippi home. The plane was carrying 3 people to a university graduation, crashed into a house, and apparently somebody in the house apparently died. That's the way I understand it. Yeah, sad. It's a 2-year-old. Have you ever heard about this lumber shortage thing that's going on? The average home now costs $35,000 more to build because of lumber costs. I don't know about this. There seems to be something weird going on here. I think that prices are being, and I realized there were some lumber issues. They're claiming all kinds of reasons for why this lumber stuff is going up. And there's something happened out west, and there was something with the logging industry and the COVID thing and all the stuff that was going on and blah, 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 blah. You have to understand there is a huge diversity of supply in the lumber industry. And I don't understand. This to me, and I know there's been videos upon video upon video of these places like Menards, in places where they've been stockpiling lumber, and it's to the point that it's almost as if they are holding it back, raising the price artificially. It's just my opinion. It's not like you can't get it. It's just the price is really high. Now, I would understand if the stores were empty. Much like, you know, ammo. You can't find ammo anywhere, but the prices aren't going up. Because everybody's buying it up. Well, this seems weird to me. And I'm not exactly sure what's the I haven't looked into it. So it's one of you guys, won't some of you get on that. Just get on that. Figure it out. Let's see here. There's a thing here. When will the lumber shortage end? Let's see what the my lightning fast internet comes up with. They're up lumber prices are up a staggering 188%. Lumber prices are up a staggering 182. When will those end? I want to build my dream home in New Jersey, but why is there a shortage of lumber, steel, microwaves? You have to understand why some of the shortages are there because of slowdown in production in some things. Because supposedly some people weren't essential workers. I think it's hilarious to me that the theater industry was hit very hard by COVID because only essential workers could work. They suddenly found out they weren't essential. All these important actors, and they're so talented and so brilliant and bright, and they want to tell us how to live as they fly over us from New York to L.A. They want to tell us, you know, what's wrong with us. And tell us what this country should be about. What's wrong with this country? We're all racists. And we don't have the virtue that they do because they are so talented and so popular. It's like the popular kids in high school. You know, it's just kind of same kind of thing. They think they're smarter because they're popular. I don't know. It's ridiculous. It's kind of amazing to me how the grade point averages on some of the kids in school. When you come to find out, it's some of the quietest ones and the ones that weren't that popular that were actually the most brilliant. On graduation day, you know, they graduated with honors. It's like, oh, I didn't realize that. And there was these little smarty pantses were running around. That's why they were so smart that they didn't get in the popular crowd. I don't know. I had a really good class, by the way. My graduation, there were some issues in our class. Don't get me wrong. But they all grew up to be fine, upstanding individuals. Well, most of them did. I mean, everybody's got troubles in their life. But I'm proud to be a part of that class. I really am. And I'm proud of everybody in my class. I mean, I'm not proud in a haughty kind of way. I'm just grateful, gratefully proud to have graduated in the class that I did. I'm very thankful for the friends I had and the upbringing I had. It's just it kind of made me who I am today. So I guess maybe I should kind of be careful with that. I'm just a guy behind a microphone, guys. That's all I am. So I was looking up this lumber thing. And interestingly enough, one of the guys in my class, I had a really small class, by the way. He owns a lumber company. I should call him up and ask him what's going on. Well, there's no answers here. There's no answers to say when will the shortage end. Lumber shortage causing higher prices has not yet been pinned down. The reason for the price hike has not yet pinned down an end date for the contraction of it. It started on February 2020. February of 2020? We didn't even start shutting things down until March. What's that about? Around the onset of the pandemic. Ford has put the brakes on production of its two German factories as the global microchip shortage continues to devastate the car industry. When will higher prices? Yeah. Well, I think pretty much we don't know. There's the answer to that question. Nobody knows. Nobody's willing to say. So getting back to this whole Trump media thing. Of course, now along with this, I want to discuss a little, but just a brief thing because it doesn't really matter, in my opinion. I know Trump kind of I think he came out and made a statement. And I guess he, made some kind of statement about, you know, this independent committee recommended that they don't reinstate Trump to Facebook. And he came out and said, it's a travesty or whatever it is. I don't know what he said. However he said it. It really is a sad, sick thing. It's pathetic. And of course, the people who hate Trump think this is the, you know, well, that's good. Yeah, I'll keep him off of there. Yeah, he doesn't deserve to be on there. Whatever. You know, it's hard. It's really hard sometimes to believe. It's sometimes when you watch stuff like this that people don't understand or realize. People who are running the show, these really brilliant people who started something back in college and it's taken off some kind of viral thing, and it's somehow they're now think they're so smart. And they do something like this because, you know, they're saving because Orange Man bad. Orange Man bad. Got to get him off of here. Nobody likes him. He's a bigot. He's a racist. He's a white supremacist. So they have all this virtue of themselves, motivating themselves to do such things as kick off a former president from Twitter, from an organization called Twitter. Think about that for a second. And Facebook, like that really matters. I mean, yes, those people have influence and they have all this kind of stuff and they have all this kind of control only because we give it to them. I'm all for making, you know, make Facebook MySpace again. That's what I'm saying. You know, MySpace was the original Facebook, and it's gone. Well, it's still there, but it's nothing. And then I believe that Twitter is on its way down the toilet. It's, and then you get TikTok, which is nothing but a cesspool. And, it's just one, you know, Instagram, all that stuff. It's a social platform. It's a social town square kind of thing. But you know what? There are other town squares out there. And there is an actual town square. There's the real world and there's the virtual world. And yet a lot of people live in this virtual world thing, and it connects a lot of people. There's a lot of people I wouldn't be in touch with today were it not for Facebook. However, there's also a lot of people I probably would know now if it wasn't for Facebook. Back before all this social media stuff, back in the 90s, I had a business and I was in the community. I was active in the community. I knew everybody in the community. And I had probably more influence in the community than I do now. And what I've noticed over in the last, you know, 20, 25, 30 years in society, here's what's happened, in my opinion. We have more online social activity, which is very difficult to really convey. And when you text someone, you can text someone with a text and mean something and mean one thing, and it comes across totally different the way the other person perceives it. Because there's nothing other than that text. And, you know, we have the emojis and all that stuff we can put in there to kind of help give it some context. But when you're speaking with someone face to face without a mask on, and you are relating to them in a way. Now, if you take the transcript, for instance, the transcript of this show, if someone else were to read all the words that I'm speaking, they could put a completely different spin on it, depending on how they say it. Let me give you an example. When I was a child, I ran with a rough crowd. When I was a child, I ran with a rough crowd. When I was a child, I ran with a rough crowd. When I was a child, I ran with a rough crowd. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to say the same thing. And you don't get that in a text. You just don't get it. It's you don't see the expression in the face. You don't hear the inflection. So it's a very different. Society that we're in now, the way we make connection with people and that kind of thing. So just to say that, I don't know where I'm going. I hadn't planned on going anywhere near that. Let's talk about the Donald Trump's platform. And again, I don't see anything about I do not see anything about the name of the platform. Is it called From the Desk? The creation of the digital space comes after senior advisor Jason Miller said in March that it was I can't find it anywhere. President Trump will be returning to social media 2 to 3 weeks from with his own platform. It's just supposedly it's up, and I'm not sure. Trump platform website. I don't know. We'll just have to figure that out, I guess, at some point. Anyway, let's move along. I've been listening to Lindell TV, and very, very interesting. It's a interesting thing going on there. They have Right Side Broadcasting, I think, is one of the fellows that's on there. Well, he's from Right Side Broadcasting, I think, maybe. But there's interesting stuff about the FBI, some live stuff there they're talking about, and how there is what the FBI has become at the high levels of management there. And it's, I think anybody who watched if you're paying any attention at all, if you listen to Christopher Wray speak, or if you listen to, really read into any of the text messages that were being sent back and forth from Peter Strzok and his woman, and then the McCabe and Christopher Wray, and then before that you had James Comey. All those people that were involved in all this stuff, has become obviously an entity in and of itself that has a very self-seeking. And it has an agenda. It has a political agenda. I don't care what they say. They say, "Oh no, we don't have. We're politically inert, neutral." They are not. They absolutely have an agenda, and it's becoming more and more obvious, and actually, kind of more and more. I would say. I hate to say this, but it troubles me to even say it. But remembering back in the 80s and 70s and 80s, and even when I was growing up in the 60s, and the Soviet Union, the Cold War, and all the stuff that was going on, what we heard about the Soviet Union and the SS back in the war, in the day. But the Soviet Union had their special police and all that kind of stuff, and their secret police or whatever they called them. And they would perpetuate crimes. They would frame people. They would do all this stuff behind the scenes. They would you'd wake up in the middle of the night and suddenly you'd be swept out of your house and you'd be never seen again, stuff like that. We are entering an era that this kind of thing may start happening again. I really do believe that may be the case. And it's happening here. Because there is this weird stuff going on. Listening to some of the testimony that was given this evening, I think his name's Aaron, Ryan, something, I don't know, some kind of Ian. He's the guy who hosts the show, and I've been listening to it. He's been going over some of the things that they were struggling with back in the 2020, I believe, early 2020, maybe it was 2019, 2018. They were putting on these conferences, and they had some issues with it, with a few people that were from a certain persuasion, and they were threatening them, and literal outright threats. I mean, this was in writing. People walking around in their some of their conferences that they later discovered had a lot of weapons, videotaping and doing some things, and was, you know, they dodged some bullets there, in my opinion. I think there's one fellow who was really off the rails that I think was probably ready to just unload on him. He was carrying around several guns in the parking lot. And had lots of rounds of ammunition. And they didn't know it. The only way they found it out was because he had happened to post Facebook Live what he was up to. Of course, he didn't get kicked off of Facebook Live. He didn't get deplatformed because, you know, he didn't incite a riot, apparently. And the FBI never did anything to get this guy. The field agents were all concerned, but then all of a sudden it went nowhere. And it became very obvious. I mean, listening to the whole story of what he's saying, and this has happened over and over. And I've heard this story from several different organizations and several different people who've returned things over to the FBI, and then it turns out that, you know, they're very selective on what they're going to do. And the whole world saw it when Hillary Clinton, you know, I got so tired of hearing James Comey's testimony. I got tired of hearing his testimony because every time he talked, it was always upspeak. Everything he said, always ended on an up note. She had several devices. She had multiple devices. She had multiple servers. They were flat out asking her. They were saying things like, they were asking Comey, they said, so Hillary Clinton was here and she testified that she only had one cell phone, or that she only used one device to access her emails, her classified emails. And Comey said, no, she had multiple devices. Well, he didn't say it like that. He said, she had multiple devices. And yet, he claims no reasonable prosecutor would go after her. No prosecutor who didn't want to end up killing themselves accidentally. No one who wanted to get suicided would go after her. I think that's what he meant to say. He stands up there and says all the stuff that she did, and then he says, so we're not going to go after, we're not going to press any charges, we're dropping the investigation. And 2 weeks later, oh, we're opening the investigation again, and now we're closing it again. Because they thought she was going to be president. They had no deal. They calculated out that there's no way Trump was going to win, so it had to be Hillary Clinton was going to be our next president. So they were ready to, you know, gearing up for that, playing ball. They were all excited about it. Because she was the establishment person. She was the deepest swamp creature in the swamp. And they were all loving that. It's going to be, you know, more water in the swamp. Play ball and we'll get funded. Get all the money flowing. And then Trump steps in. They weren't ready for that. James Comey goes and pays the president a visit in the first week of his White House. And shows him the dossier. And explains to him that this kind of stuff is out there. This was a veiled attempt to shake him down. I am convinced of that. When that didn't work, Comey got nervous. Comey realized, I think at that point, that there was going to have to be a lot more effort put into this. The ruining of this administration. He even though I think at that point he still believed that this guy was he was a creep and it wouldn't take much, you know, before they could get him because he was a rotten fella. We'll get him on something. I'm sure he did something wrong. I'm sure he cheated or something to get in here. We'll figure this out. So he gives the notes of his high-level classified meeting with the president to a friend of his with the intention of having him give it to the press. Because he didn't, because James Comey didn't feel like it was ethical for him to give it directly to the press. So he gave it to his friend to give to the press. How convenient. This sounds like something a junior high kid would do, a smart junior high kid would do, to work around getting punished by his parents for doing something that he knows is wrong. Now, you know what Comey taught in college, in a university? Ethics. He taught ethics. So he thinks he's above all this, the fray on all this stuff. He thinks he can work this out because in his mind, he can juggle all these balls around and make it ethical for him to do something unethical. You know, there's the law and there's the spirit of the law, and I think you've broken the spirit of the law here, James. And personally, I think Trump saw through this. He's one of those guys that can look at somebody and know his gut in his gut that this guy can't be trusted, and he just fired him. And of course, then he got in big trouble because of the investigation with the Russians. Oh, that's going to stop the investigation. He's trying to stop the investigation with the Russians. You don't stop the investigation just because you fire the person in charge of it. It's that, you know, because somebody else is going to be in charge of it. The investigation itself doesn't stop. But the media was leading us to believe that he was trying to eliminate the guy who was trying to investigate him. Doesn't matter. The investigation lives on, and everybody knows that. Well, everybody who knows anything about the law knows that. And apparently the news media was able to convince a lot of people, or tried to convince a lot of people, or maybe they thought themselves. I mean, these people were so out of their mind with rage against this president that even they weren't thinking straight. They kept convincing themselves that the walls were closing in and this was about to happen, and now he's about to be impeached, and he's going to be impeached. No, he's going to go away. Oh, then he wasn't impeached. And then it was... Oh, now we got Romney. We got Romney to agree with you know, with one of the impeachment articles. And he didn't get impeached again. So then we got to, you know, I'm amazed. If the Senate had been run by the Democrats, I have no doubt Trump would have been impeached. It would have been a party line vote. And we're in for some interesting days ahead, folks. I have no doubt about this. I think that we're about to see some very interesting things happen. I want to get back to this Lindell thing. I was watching Lindell TV. If you go to Frank, what is it called? I think it's just Frank, frankspeech.com, I think it is. Frankspeech.com. And you can go to Lindell TV. And they play a live feed all the time. Now they'll repeat a lot of things. There are some past shows. Now they do have I think Lindell has put out several different videos now on, you know, absolute proof, absolute, you know, scientific proof. What else is there? All kinds of, absolute proof and absolute evidence, whatever. Several different videos of the voting fraud stuff, the voting shenanigans, the voting doctoring, and the machines. And he's just covering the machines. Now, he has covered other things as well. He's covered things about some of the shenanigans that went on, crimes that were committed in Atlanta and Michigan and Wisconsin, Arizona, some of those states. Now, the audit is still going on. And of course, I've covered some of the things that have happened in the audit in the last couple shows, one of which was that judge that should not be a judge that decided to release all the security information, which is after there was a decision or an agreement that all the security information would remain sealed, and the judge just releases it all, puts it on the internet for everybody to download, 7 pages of information. Well, let's just put that on the internet for everybody to download that. Absolutely nuts. The judge should not be a judge. I just blows my mind. They have tried and tried to stop this audit. Some interesting stuff going on with all that. Well, he has this more information on all the IP addresses and everything that's going on, like thousands of pages of lists of IP address attempts. Not all of them were individual or different IP address attempts. What happened a lot of times was this IP address, in other words, this computer system that was trying to hack, majority of it was from China. There was also some from Iran and some other small stuff going on. But the majority of it was from China. I think about 60-some percent of it was from China, the attack. And every one of them shows what they were doing once they got in and how the votes changed. All this, you know, with the timing of this whole thing and all the forensic evidence that they've found so far. At least this is what they're saying. I'm assuming that this is correct. I don't know. I'm just going by what these experts are saying. And, you know, they'll make multiple attempts to try to hack in, and you'll get these IP address keeps pinging in and keeps trying, and they'll be unsuccessful to actually get in, and then they finally make it in. So a lot of these pages and pages of are all attempts to hack in to every county in the country that had these machines operating. Now, they claim these machines are not connected to the internet. Now, you don't understand. The machines don't have to be connected to the internet. They just are connected to a device that is connected to the internet. In fact, if these machines are linked up to anything, any type of router at all, and that router, even if it has a firewall inside the router that keeps people from going into the internet, from getting involved in this thing, people break through those routers, through that kind of thing all the time. In fact, they have somehow through like these thermostats that are controlled. I have a thermostat in my home that's controlled by the internet. I can be in Alaska and turn the heat down in my home from, 2,000 miles away with my phone. I can turn the air conditioner on. I can do all kinds of things. I can do, I can turn lights on and off in my house from my phone. From anywhere in the country. And that technology apparently can be hacked. My understanding is that there were people who were able to hack into these machines through thermostat controls that were linked to the internet. There was a conference a while back, right? This was before the 2020 election. It might have even been before 2016. I think it's actually in 2016, before the election, or 2015, possibly. But it might have been before the 2020 election. I can't remember. But there was this big conference, and they had all these hackers there. And they showed these machines, and they gave these people the opportunity. They said, okay, here is the, here are the machines, and here's the stuff, and blah, 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 blah. And machines are in another room or whatever. I don't know how they did this little test. But they said, you guys have all day to try to figure out how to hack into these machines and change results. An hour and a half. And they were doing it. People were breaking in less than 2 hours. The continual mantra, James Comey testified, nope, these machines are not hooked up to the internet. Chris Krebs, no, these machines are not hooked up to the internet. No, Chris Krebs, again, Chris Krebs, by the way, long-haired guy, supposedly a Republican. He's an establishment swamp creature. And he looks like an Antifa guy. I can't help but he is a mole in my opinion. He's not a Republican. If he is, he's a rhino. I mean, he's not an elected official. He's just a computer guy in charge of some kind of security thing. I'm not sure exactly even what he was doing before. He was doing something with the Bush administration or somebody. I don't know. I do not trust him. I trust him less than I trust Nancy Pelosi. And he was testifying and going on and on about how this election wasn't hacked. This was the most pristine election ever, and blah 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 blah, blah and all this stuff. When Ron Johnson was doing his investigation, his Senate investigation. And Hawley was speaking, and all these other people were speaking. And one guy was really good. Was talking from. There was another guy that was actually from the Constitution Party. Was talking, and he had all these anomalies, talking about all the anomalies. And that's the thing that Lindell is uncovering right now, is that these machines, all the same time that these hacks are happening, that these machines, they're looking at the vote count, putting it in real time. Parallel to they're lining all this stuff up and realizing that it is exactly when these hacks happened that Trump would lose in one county, he'd lose like 300 votes, in another county he'd lose, all of a sudden 600 votes would disappear, and then it was amazing. It was always Trump going down in every county that was connected. And he's fully confident that he knows what he's talking about. And the more he looks, digs into this thing, the more obvious it becomes. Now you can say, okay, there wasn't enough evidence, or there wasn't enough influence to change the election. Okay, you can keep saying that. Keep saying it. Here's the problem. When you do the math of all this, and just Lindell said, he had his people and his accountants and himself went all through this thing and did all the math. It was actually Trump that got like 80-some million votes, and Biden got 68 million, if you don't even include all the other crime that was going on with stuff like Atlanta when they, everybody leave, going to leave now. We got these other two boxes down here under this covered table. Yeah, we probably should run those through the counter a few times. Oh, there's a camera? Yikes, forgot about that. Oh, they're coming back to check on us? We better go. Yeah, why don't you delay them a little bit and we'll get out of here. We'll shut everything down and get out of here. And that's exactly what happened. When they found out they were still counting, the observers went back to the building. The security guard held them up, slowed them down. When he finally let them go upstairs, the workers just left. How convenient. Are you telling me there was nothing nefarious going on there? I'm not letting this go. Let it go, let it go. No, I'm not going to let it go. Because this was treasonous, folks. This was absolute criminal. And the FBI doesn't care. The AG didn't care. They just wanted everybody to shut up and move along. For 4 years, we heard nothing but the election was hacked. The Russians did it. He cheated. Blah, 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 blah. This was an illegitimate president. And then all of a sudden, the next election, we won. It's done. Shut up. And if you say anything about it, we're going to excommunicate you. We're going to belittle you. We're going to make you look like a crazy person. And that's on with that. I believe that if we don't, if they don't manage to change things radically, you know, they've got a year and a half to do things here before 2022, before the election, the midterm. I believe there will be a landslide. I think there was a landslide last time, and we were disconnected from that. Here's a little statistic for you that I'm just going to throw this out there, just to give you some idea of why this is ridiculous. According to the news media, they say that all white men are the racists and the ones that follow Trump, and we're all the ones that, you know, that's they're the ones that are the evil ones, the evil. Now, for 4 years, we heard nothing but he was racist. Trump was racist, and he hated, you know, and people of color should hate him. Women should hate him. Everyone should hate him. You know, because the economy was going well. Unemployment was the lowest ever in history that I remember. We were building up a nation that I really was thinking we were never going to pull out of this new norm, as the Obama said. This is the new normal. Yeah. So, you know, you can say what you want to about it. I mean, you can say that anyway, so this little tidbit of information that in every demographic, be it Latino, African American, women, every demographic you can think of, other than white men, Trump increased and outperformed the voting ratio. In other words, he had gains in every single demographic. When you don't include white men, every single demographic. Now, what that leaves is that this tremendous outpouring of voting for Biden came from the only demographic that's left. Millions upon millions of white men apparently decided to vote for Trump, because in every other demographic, Trump won. This smells fishy to me. And I like fish, but I don't like smelly fish. And this is just one of many different anomalies. Many, 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 many anomalies. When you start adding up the numbers and looking at the performance of the voting that night. And I have to say, Lindell is onto some stuff. And they've successfully kind of made him out to be a crazy guy. And there are some people in this voting movement thing who are a little off kilter, in my opinion. I have a hard time relating to Lynn Wood. A lot of people really like Lynn Wood, and I hate to tell you this, but there's something off about that guy. I don't know what it is. I can't get enthusiastically behind him. And I'm not sure what's going on with that. Maybe I don't know him personally. Maybe something's going on there. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And what's the other lady's name? The Kraken lady. Mrs. Kraken. Miss Kraken. I don't remember. I can't remember her name. Lindsay. Lindsay. I don't know. And I trust her as well, I think she was also privy to some of the information. She has been very quiet lately. Not sure what's going on with that. I think she probably feels a little bit dejected by the whole thing, the whole process. People had put a lot of hope in her. They had a lot of hope that she was going to come through with some results, and of course the courts are just shutting it out. The Supreme Court still to this day, in the last week or so, there was another voting case that they just flat out turned down. They would not hear it. They do not want to get involved in this. I guess there's another court case right now. It's a Second Amendment case. I was trying to listen into it. What was going on with it? I was trying to kind of do some research on it and figure out exactly what the case was about. It's a pretty substantial case. I can't remember what it is. Hopefully, some of these things get set. Now, one of the things that's important to realize in the Supreme Court, the way the Supreme Court is supposed to operate is they're supposed to look back at precedent. In other words, what have been the decisions of the past? And how do we, how the decisions that they make now should be based on some of the decisions that were made in the past and to set the precedent, unless they can come up with a different detail within the ruling that will overturn something. It's very hard to overturn something like that. And so when they get into this stuff, they do look back at precedent. Now, I guarantee you, if you get activists like what we have in Congress now, we don't have politicians, we don't have statesmen, we have radical leftist activists who will do anything to stay in power so that they can push their activist agenda. And you get activists on the court, they will not care about precedent, I guarantee you. They will be another legislative body. They will just be doing something that's all philosophically and ideologically different. And speaking of activists, a particular ding-a-ling that's in the Congress that everybody knows, we'll just call her Googly Eyes, has decided that she's proposing that we have a 1.5 million person what is it? Some kind of core. What is it called? What does she call it? I have to look it up. Now this makes me this upsets me. I'm sure I can just type in a few letters here and probably get it. Let's see what it says. Yes. She's explaining this Green New Deal, civilian core, climate core. What is it called? Climate core. It's a climate core. 1.5 million people strong climate core. Now, let me give you a little bit of some perspective on this. 1.5 million people. The entire military. Do you know how many people are in the entire military? Considered military individuals and considered part of the military budget on the payroll. Two point one million. 2.1 million people are in the military. That's everybody from, bottom to top. And she wants 1.5 million in a climate core. That's three quarters the size of our military. That's a great idea, isn't it? A whole nother big, huge bureaucratic thing. Now, I don't know how this works. I don't know how this exactly, I don't know whether these people are all going to be on payroll or if this is going to be voluntary groups or what it's going to be, but you have 1.5 million people within the country who are basically patrolling for climate issues. That's all we need. And when you stop and think about that, let's just take a look, little look here. Where's my calculator? I've got a calculator somewhere. I don't know where it is. Here, let's do this. It doesn't work on that one. Yeah, it's got to be here somewhere. I'm going to go to, let's just do this. I'm going to pull this one, the window up here. Go to my applications. Go to my calculator. Pull it up. Where is it at? There it is. Okay. And then I'm going to push this and keep it in the dock. See, I can just go keep in dock. That way it's always there. So we have 1.5 million people. And we have 50 states. There we go. 1,500,000 people. There you go. All right. Now, divided by 50 states. That's 30,000 people in every state. 30,000 people in every state. Of course, some states are going to have more than others because some states are bigger than others. So I have to explain that to you. But on average, 30,000 people in every state. 30,000 people is actually more people than the town I grew up in. That's a lot of people, let me just say, right there, to put on the government dole in every state. It's not just one group. That's every state. Did I mention it's every state? Yeah. So, you know, when you're thinking about these kinds of things, get some perspective on this kind of stuff. And of course, here comes my cat. Somebody opened up the door, and now my cat is doing its thing. Yeah, squirt bottle works great for that. So I guess I'm gonna close the show out here because this is gonna get ridiculous. But again, we're in a point now where stupid cat, crazy cat. I think it's called That Darn Cat. It was a movie back in the 70s. So, I bid you adieu, and I bid you good evening. But this is something to think about. Now, when you hear people saying all this stuff, and all this stuff's flying around, get your calculator out. Do a little thinking with what they're saying. You know? I'll be back tomorrow morning. Everybody have a great night. Be at peace. Shalom. And God bless, folks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing and subscribing. Have a great night.